Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, January 17th. It's time for our morning special guest. And joining me in studio this morning, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Associate Executive Director for Communications here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And Pam, you work a lot. You work in a lot of areas. You're running all over the place. I think you should just wear running shoes when I see you here at the International Center because you have so many meetings. But one of the big projects, one of the main things that you're involved with is Lutherans Engage the World, a great print piece that really keeps us in tune with what's going on with Lutherans, not only in our church body, but what's going on around the world. Tell us a little bit more about Lutherans Engage the World.
Sure. This is both a print piece and an online magazine. You can find it at lcms.org/Lutherans Engage. But it is a magazine. It is what it says it is. It's the story of our witness, mercy, and life together at home and abroad. It's the things that the LCMS is engaged in to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So there are missionary stories, there's stories of our work in rural and small town America, what we're doing in cities, what we're doing with immigrants, our mercy work. It covers the work that we're doing, as broad as that is. And so each time we put out an issue, which is every other month, so six times a year, we try to pick a theme. And we're really working with the six mission priorities that the Synod and Convention passed as kind of to guide the work of the Synod. So this new issue, the January 2014 issue that just came out, dropping in mailboxes this week, in fact, is all about mission, and that really ties to our mission priority of working with our partner churches and supporting and upholding them. It also gets to how we take care of our church workers and the focus we have on church workers, because mission work happens because we send missionaries.
Right. They don't go out on their own accord.
That's
They're sent.
And they're sent.
The scriptures speak clearly about that, too.
That's right.
How can they hear if they're not sent?
That's right. And we don't send and drop them somewhere and say, see you later.
Parachute, dropping them out of a plane.
That's right. There's a whole lot that goes into preparing them and then caring for them while they're out there. And next month, we're going to be having another missionary orientation. Nine new missionaries will be here for 2 weeks of intensive training and preparation. You'll start seeing them hit the field probably in about a year because they have their fundraising to do and that kind of thing. But there's the before, the during, and even the aftercare when missionaries leave the field. And so that concern for our church workers, not just here, our teachers and pastors in the States, but certainly for those that we send so far from home.
What I think a lot of folks don't realize is exactly what you're saying, that we have to care for these missionaries. When we send them, we don't just leave, you know, drop them and not provide any support. And a lot of folks don't realize probably that we have a small staff here at the International Center called Missionary Services that support our missionaries and help them stay connected and do a variety of things. That would be a good story.
Yeah, it really would. A great story to tell, because they do everything from assist them with getting their plane tickets to these exotic places they're being sent. They counsel them and hook them up with physicians who know about infectious diseases in these parts of the world, so they know what shots to get, what kind of medical preparation. They assist them with the whole moving of a family and things to the field. And they also are checking in on them. How are they doing mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically? Those things are very important. And one of the top priorities, President Harrison has said, and it's a chief priority for the Missionary Services Unit, is the spiritual care of our missionaries.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of work. So when we talk about what it costs to put a missionary on the field, part of that cost is the home office that supports them, so that any time, day or night, 24/7, if they have an emergency or a need, there's somebody they can call, and there's a process in place if we even have to get them out of the country immediately. Maybe there's a disaster,
sure,
a coup, whatever. that care is very important. And tied with that is just simply the need for more missionaries. The ones we have are doing terrific work, but our partner churches, and that's what you're going to read about in this issue of Engage, our partner churches are begging us for more partnership in the gospel. And largely, not exclusively, but largely, what they're asking for is help in training pastors, mm-hmm. and also in strengthening the pastors they already have.
Theological education,
and that's one of our chief mission priorities. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for pastors with advanced degrees, professors, men who can be planted in seminaries around the world, like Dr. Carl Rockroar, who's in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. That's not even a partner church, but they are looking to us. They're saying, you have something we don't have, and they're begging. They could take 20. They have six seminaries across the country, 6 million Lutherans in Ethiopia. We have pastors, professors in other places in Africa, in Siberia, and Latin America, and well, all over the world.
Sure.
Pretty exciting. Yeah.
One column that I particularly like this month, Who's Your Missionary?
Yeah.
Now, is that a regular column or just in this issue?
That's just in this issue, and that's actually just my editor's note, because I feel passionately about this. Every one of us that sits in the pew, that comes to God's house on Sunday, every adult or every family ought to have their own missionary. And by that I mean a missionary that you daily pray for, mm-hmm. and remember, a missionary that you connect with through email or Skype or even a handwritten letter, mm-hmm. and one that in some way you support sacrificially with dollars to make their work possible. Our missionaries, they're part of a network of support. Certainly, the LCMS with our budget dollars supports their work through the things we talked about earlier, making sure they're taken care of and they're not alone on the field and all of that kind of thing. But their salary, their living expenses, they have to raise, and they do that by inviting the rest of the church, the broader church, to support them. So congregations can do this, mm-hmm. and I think every congregation should have at least one missionary that's in their budget, mm-hmm. just like the Sunday school program or youth ministry. Every Lutheran school should have a missionary, and every family. And then the whole church is part of this sending and proclaiming the gospel across the world. You know, not all of us can be the missionary. We just put out a poster where we talk about the missionary work, mm-hmm. and it went out in the Reporter this month. And, you know, one of the things that we say on there is it's a different life.
Very much so.
Are you up for it? Not everybody's up for that. But I think we all, as the children of God, should be up for supporting that work and supporting those people who make that sacrifice to go on the field.
Well, if you haven't figured out, then this issue of Lutherans Engage the World is really about, there's a huge emphasis on our missionaries.
Absolutely.
If our listeners haven't picked up on that yet. even the cover, you know, a picture of two pastors giving a blessing there, and obviously in a missionary setting. And
yeah, that's in Africa. That's the one is missionary Pastor Shawan Trump, and he serves in Africa, and he's there, looks like in a tent or a hut, leading worship with a African pastor. So,
very good. Other things that you want to highlight from this issue, that other stories from this?
Well, there's one that talks about the changing face of mission work. It's one of the feature stories, because I think in a lot of our minds, we think, oh, they go far away and they go into a jungle somewhere. They live in a hut made of grass and twigs, or maybe they're in an arid region with a clay hut, and they don't have, you know, modern conveniences, and the people have never heard of Jesus and maybe never seen a white man, whatever.
And that's true for some.
Very little today, because of the great work of the church in the late 19th century, early 20th century, and throughout the 20th century. We have been all over the world. Our first missionary for the LCMS, and he's pictured here, Theodore Nather, that was in the 1800s. He went, and his work has resulted in today a living, active partner church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of India, that has multiple schools and mercy institutions, hospitals, orphanages, all kinds of things, a seminary. That's the legacy of Theodore Nather, who actually gave his life. He succumbed to the plague, I guess.
Oh.
And so did his family, his children. And that his story is quite incredible.
That story is in here, correct?
Yeah, a little bit. But the work today is different. Now, we're not the first guys in. We're following a long train, and we're coming not as sort of the know-it-all people who know how, you know, get out of my way, we've got it figured out here. We're coming in at the invitation of our partner church. We have 35 partner churches around the world, and on every continent, they're the experts. They're native to that land. They've been there, and they're saying, come help us. But they really are the ones that know what's needed, and they have the cultural awareness and sensitivity. So we don't go in unless we're invited or asked, like we are now being invited into Ethiopia, into Madagascar. It's incredible. And because they're already established Lutheran church bodies, they're looking for assistance to keep nurturing and strengthening the church that's already there and to help them extend their missionary efforts. So we're not first line anymore. We're often the second line. We're the Aarons holding up, you know, the Moses hands.
I'm curious if we'll see, and maybe it's already happening, see the day where our church partners are sending missionaries here to the U.S.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's coming.
Yeah.
I think it's coming as we culturally become quite bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Well, we are talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Associate Executive Director in Communication Services here at Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the current issue of Lutherans Engage the World. We've got more to talk about right here on His Time, so stick around. Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, January 17th, 7:45 Central Standard Time. I'm Andy Bates, your host, and today we are talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Associate Executive Director for Communication Services, and discussing Lutherans Engage the World. Before we went to break, we were talking about missionaries, Pam, and talking about that's really the highlight of this issue. And earlier in the conversation, we talked about the need for pastors and theological educators in our partner churches around the globe, and that's really a key to many of our missionaries. Are there others who are needed? Not all of us who are interested in serving as missionaries are pastors or theological educators or professors. Are there others who would be good missionaries? Is there a need for other types of missionaries?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing about missionary service. Just like the church here at home, we need all kinds of workers. We've got the centerfold of this issue has this road to missionary service. And at the bottom of it, there's all these little, I guess you call them avatars.
Yeah.
we on the mission field today, we need project managers. We need, of course, the theological educators. We need teachers who can teach children and adults, teachers who can teach English. We need communication specialists. In order for us to bring these stories to you and with the great pictures and all of that, we need people on the ground who are looking for those stories and also assisting the partner churches with their communication needs. So that's kind of a dual role. We need church planters to work with our partner churches. Volunteer coordinators, when a church sends 20 or 30 people over for a mission trip, there's got to be somebody on the ground who's laid the groundwork for the work they're going to do, make sure they've got the housing and all their needs taken care of. And so they aren't in the way of the partner church and the permanent mission staff. So volunteer coordinator is a big one in certain places. Business manager. In each of our five regions of the world, we have a business manager, and this is someone who's good with numbers and dollars and cents, accounting, who knows about contracts and things like that, and they take care of the business end of the mission field. We need strategic mission developers who, again, working with the partner church, when they look at the vast need to spread the gospel, helping be strategic about it and making a plan. We're looking for deaconesses who have that theological training and the mercy training, because much of our work around the world involves mercy projects in caring for people in whatever needs they have. So that's a big one. And we also need medical missionaries. Typically, those are short-term, perhaps not always, but we're always looking for teams of medical professionals to go over for 2 to 3 weeks and do clinics or eye clinics, health clinics. Certainly after the devastating earthquake in Haiti, we had multiple medical clinics. They did surgery, field hospitals, that kind of thing. So when we talk about missionaries and the need for them, we're talking about a broad set of skills, lots of different types of people going to different types of places, and you know, that whole picture of the body of Christ and all the parts of it being necessary. That's just as true on the mission field as it is here at home in our congregations.
Sure, sure. It takes all kinds of different gifts to serve in that way. If someone's interested in becoming a missionary, and this piece in the center of the Lutherans Engage really does show you a good map how to becoming a missionary. How do you go about that?
Well, if you just want to begin to explore and talk to someone, you can go to our lcms.org website, and at the top of it, there's a tab that says who we are, what we do. If you click what we do and click missionaries, there you can find information about our missionaries and the kind of thing that they're doing. That helps you see what's out there and the countries we're in. But if you really want to talk to someone, we have a mission recruiter, and his name is Reverend Daniel McMiller.
Just met him 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
He is all over the place, as you might imagine a recruiter to be. But you can call our church information center. Mm-hmm. You can email him directly, daniel.mcmiller@lcms.org, and he'll get right back to you. About your questions and interest in missionary service. And we're eager. And the flip side of that is, as we are growing our missionary team across the world, and that also by convention mandate to double the number of missionaries, career missionaries, we need to grow that network of support that we were talking about earlier. So really want to encourage your listeners to think about how they can support a missionary. There's not a single missionary that is on the field because one person, one church, one school covered all their costs. All of them have a huge network of individual schools, churches, LWML groups, men's groups that do something. Maybe it's a family that says, monthly we're going to send $50 or $25, or we think we can commit $5,000 a year, or whatever. A church might put that in their budget for a certain amount. And that helps get these missionaries. And as we increase the number going on the field, we're going to have to increase that network of support across the church. And that's really a beautiful thing, that we're all working together to take the gospel to the four corners of the world.
And it's pieces like this, like Lutherans Engage the World, that keep us in touch with what's going on around the world. So we kind of have a sense of investment, ownership to some degree. We see what's going on around the globe with our missionaries and with our partner churches because of pieces like this. So it makes it I guess it, maybe I'm thinking of the old Adam side here, but it makes it easier to support things like that, mm-hmm. to support our missionaries when we see what's happening rather yeah. than just not knowing what's going on.
Well, nobody wants to put money down a rabbit hole, right? You want to right. you want to know how it's being used, how it's being spent. And not only Engage does that, but if you actually say, I want my own missionary, mm-hmm. which I hope you do, then you'll be paired with a missionary, and that missionary will send out regular newsletters, mm-hmm. Emails. Those newsletters are full of pictures, stories of their life mm-hmm. and their work, and they're fascinating to read. We get all of them in our office from all right. over the world.
I get quite a few of them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. It's sometimes overwhelming, but you're like, whoa, look at this. Look what's happening here, mm-hmm. you know. It's really exciting, and they also, you know, the ones we support in our family, we often get handwritten notes from them mm-hmm. and thanking us for the support we give. And, you know, our support isn't a huge amount. So, again, it doesn't have to be a lot. But if everybody just did something to support a missionary, you know, if every congregation committed to, what do we have, 6,000 congregations? If every congregation said, we'll put $1,000 wow. in our budget annually, $600,000 to support missionaries. Amazing, you know? So that network, all of us coming together, the people of God, make this work possible.
You just did all that math in your head. I think you should be a business manager missionary.
Oh, that's... you would not want that. My husband took the checkbook away from me years ago.
Well, you were talking about updates from the families, the missionaries, and there is a nice article in here on an update on the Horn family. And I had the chance to talk with them this last fall as they were preparing to go serve in Papua New Guinea. So to see an update and to see pictures, you know, to see photos from them out in the field is just encouraging. And I hope to talk to them again in the coming year or in this year.
They're doing great work. And when we talked about the changing face of mission work, of all the places that we're sending people, that feels in large part like the old days of mission work, where it's very primitive society, living in very primitive type housing and that kind of thing. The Horn family really is experiencing that in Papua New Guinea. Mm-hmm. Now they still, I'm on Facebook with them, so they have internet, sure. that kind of thing. But there are
In limited places.
They've got to drive somewhere or whatever. But their story is probably the most traditional type of missionary work, the kind that we all immediately think of. But this update is something we're trying to do in this magazine mm-hmm. as we cover a story. Months later, if there's some new thing, we're gonna remind you of those folks and those people. So,
it takes a lot of work to gather all this information. Yes, the missionaries are sending you updates. They're sending out their newsletters, and you're getting updates. But you know, to put all this together in a piece for us to benefit from it, for the rest of us in the church body to get this news, that takes a lot of work. Just paint a picture for us. How much work, how many people, how many people contribute, and the talents that all go into something like this, Lutherans Engage?
Well, it's a whole team. It's mm-hmm. a team of writers and editors and graphic designers, not to mention then the people that we tap to give us information about the story. So once we know the theme, like this was on mission, then we go to our missions people in the Office of International Mission, and we say, what do you think? Who should we cover? What's, mm-hmm. you know, and we get their input. They put us in contact with missionaries around the world. And then our writers get about writing and doing their research. Stories get copy edited by, you know, if you write it, then someone else is going to copy edit it. Then they go to our layout graphic design team, and they begin to make it look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they're just, every issue is just getting better and better. We've got a lot of infographics, which I think people really like today. You can say a lot with a little if you use graphics well. Mm-hmm. And we're doing that. And you talked about the pictures. And we just recently added a professional photojournalist to our staff, a guy who worked for major newspapers. He's Lutheran, and he loves serving his church. And you can see some of his work. I mean, literally, He started the day that our disaster team flew to the Philippines, and he joined us.
I know. I saw that. I was like, well, welcome. Have a safe trip.
Yeah. So we've got a spread here about missionary Sean Harlow, and to talk about non-pastor missionaries. Sean's not a pastor, but he is vital to the work in the Philippines and vital to the Lutheran Church in the Philippines. And we did a feature, actually our photographer, Eric Lunsford, did a feature about Sean and the mercy work he does. And then he used his pictures, some of his many pictures from that disaster trip. So that's a great spread too.
Well, Pam, it's always good to have you in studio. You always have something great to share. And Lutherans, I commend you on and the team on Lutherans Engage the World, a great piece, always keeping us informed. And I do like all the photos. I'm a visual person, yet I work in radio. Isn't that crazy? And of course, someone gave you the memo. I guess somebody started putting the word out that I like treats, because yesterday's guest and today both brought me treats in the studio. So thanks for joining us this morning, Pam. Always good to have you here with us.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks. Coming up the next hour, we're going to study God's Word right here with Pastor Peter Marsis from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Napoleon, Ohio. We're going to study Romans chapter 7 and 8. Stick around for more His Time right here on Lister-supported Worldwide KFUO.